Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Gimel and Avodah Zarah. We are on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah, and we continue. We are continuing along the first parak theme of discussing how to handle the idolaters on their Yom Eid, on their festivities. They had pagan festivities that they did over the course of the year. Three that were global, if you will, and a couple of others that were more personal, but they had yontifs over the course of the year, and on their pagan festivities, so we cannot augment to that festivity. We are prohibited from doing so. In fact, the first mission of the Masechta told us that it was 3 days prior to their festivity already. You can't do any type of business transaction with them, and the reason being is that 3 days already, they're getting into the mood, they're getting excited, and along will come their yantiv, and that's it. And they're going to thank their God, and they're going to say thank you to their deity for all this good fortune that has come to them, and consequently, it's prohibited. Prohibited on the Yom Eid, on the day of the festivity themselves, and Lifnei Yideihem on the 3 days before as well. Okay, good. Yesterday we had a great discussion about Maris Ayin, the issue of appearing like you are worshipping idolatry. You're not doing so, but you just have an appearance in doing so. And the Gemara had a great discussion about what is considered Maris Ayin. We talked about it. We talked yesterday about giving up your life, even for Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah. That was yesterday's discussion. And today, we're going to have a slightly different discussion about going into the market and doing business. Now, today's Mishnah is going to sound like it's diametrically opposed to the first Mishnah, and I will get to that later on. Rashi is going to discuss that a little bit later on. But let's just a little more background. In those days, when they had a pagan holiday, a pagan festivity, so how was it celebrated? By opening up the market, right? Apparently, the pagan festivity was a joint venture together with the open market, and basically became like this, like bonanza flea market. It was like a bonanza flea market, right? In fact, some Rishonim go on to write that it was so exciting for them to have a market on that day. Prices were at its lowest, right? And right, I guess I could say La Havdil, right? President's Day sale, Memorial Day sale, Labor Day sale, right? It was exciting. It was an absolute bonanza, and not only that, but if you, we're going to learn this today. It's just great because, you know, not much has changed except for the, you know, I don't know if we would call, you know, our society that of pagan and idolatry, but okay, I'll try to stay away from that. But it got to the point where if you went around the flea market on their pagan holiday and you dressed in a certain way, they gave you a tax exemption from having to pay all taxes. So you want to talk about excitement, you want to talk about really like benefiting from the idolatry. Okay, so let's start with the Mishnah. We are in the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Baruch Atan Amechlam Shekhom Medver. Yir Sheish Ba'avodas Kochav and V'hayu Ba'av Chaniyot Murtarus V'she'ena Murtarus. Okay, you're going into the town on the pagan holiday, and there are markets. Now, some markets are decorated, mu'utaros, and some are not decorated. This was a story up in Beishan. Beishan, those of you who know, like right below the Yam Kinneret, like a nice little town right there. So, v'amru chachamim ha-mu'utaros asuros, v'she'enan mu'utaros mutaros. Now, here's what the chachamim said. Go to the markets that are... Go to the vendors, I should say. Go to the vendors that do not have the decorations in front of them, and don't go to the vendors that do have the decorations in front of them. Okay, Gemara's going to discuss this. Right? Gemara's going to discuss this in more detail. But right away from the Mishnah, you have to ask yourself the following question. Before doing so, look at Rashi. Look at the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Shein mutaros mutaros. If it's not adorned, if it's not decorated, it's fine. Why? Rashi writes, "Deba'osan shein mutaros lo shakli menel michzal avodos kochavim." Because you know that there are people who are opening their markets and are really into their pagan god. And you know the people are not. And the way you know is very simple. If it's decorated, you know. We're open for sale today. We're part of the flea market. And now we're just part of the flea market. We're part of the pagan festivities. Right. And so Rashi says they're collecting tax. So it's a way of indicating, of telling you, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you know, we're going to be collecting tax for idolatry today. So when you buy from us, we're going to be charging a little percentage, and that percentage is going to idolatry. All right, you can't go there. Fine. And then Rashi says, but the ones that don't have the mu'utaras, the ones that are not adorned and decorated, by the way, when we get to the Gemara, Gemara is going to talk about the actual decoration they used, they don't collect tax. And therefore, the avodah zara, the idolatry, either the priests or the actual items themselves, are not going to be collecting any tax. Fine. All right, now, next part of Rashi is super important, and Rashi over here is going to be bothered by the basic, by a following question. What are we talking about now? We're going into a town that worships idolatry, and we're doing business on the Yom Eid, on the actual day of the festivity. Now, you're not supposed to, right? And you're not supposed to do any type of business transactions on the Yom Eid. And as the first Mishnah taught us, you're not allowed to do business transactions 3 days before the Yom Eid, before the pagan festivity. And here you are now in the town. Oh, but don't worry, because this particular business, they don't have their decorations up. So therefore, it's okay. Rashi's bothered by the fact, what does that mean it's okay? You're in the town. You're doing business in the town on the Yom Eid. What's going on? So watch what Rashi does here. The e mishum denose venosim biyomidam. What about the problem that you just cannot do business on the yomidam? That's a rabbinical prohibition. It is a prohibition. Hani mi lizbune lahu dilma mizben le behema v'azo umakrav lala avodas kochavim. Rashi says, you know why it's a problem? It's a problem because either, number one, you'll sell them an animal and they'll take that animal and they'll actually offer that animal to the Avodah Zarah. It is their pagan holiday. It is their idolatrous holiday. They are looking to offer on that day. So if you sell them an animal, they're going to take the animal and use it to actually offer their offering. This is, I guess you would say, lifnei iver, what you're doing. You're abetting, you're an accomplice. Inami, Rashi then goes on to write, derech lokech liot sameach v'azul umode. Aval mizban minayu davar miskayim shari distamocher atsevhu. And Rashi then says, or I can say the following: maybe the prohibition of doing commerce is only one directional. Maybe the prohibition in the Mishnah that I'm not allowed to do business, that means I'm not allowed to sell them things. But if I want to buy things from them, Rashi says that's okay. Why? So Rashi is very clear. Rashi says, and by the way, Rashi is also clear that we're talking about durable goods, right? Why is it okay? So Rashi writes, I'm going to reread the Rashi. Inami derech lokech li osamech va'azil amode. If you sell them something, oh, they just bought something, they're so excited, and they're going to thank their gods, lowercase g. Aval mizban minayu, but to buy things from them, davar miskayim, durable goods, that's okay, destam mocher atsevhu. Because as a seller, when you have to sell off things of yours, possessions of yours, typically the seller is sad. Now, understood, of course, that he's getting money in exchange for the object that he sold. How sad can he be? He has money now. Rashi says no. Rashi says typically, psychologically, the seller of anything that he sells is going to be sad, and so therefore he will not go back to his deity and say, oh, thank God. In fact, he's going to say, I can't believe I had to sell that. Okay. Now, keep this Rashi in mind. Rashi really reshapes our thinking of the entire first parak, right? It's really not the simple pshat of the Mishnah. You go back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Right? Lases velases. I know I read it like an Ashkenaz, so it sounds like I'm repeating myself. But you're not allowed to. Right, nose ben nosein. Right, those are two verbs. You think that means going back and forth, buying and selling, and that pshat is supported by the continuation of the Mishnah. Lahashilam velushom elam, to lend, to borrow. Lahalvosam lavos mehem, to lend money or to borrow money. Right, it really sounds, a simple pshat in the Mishnah is that the prohibition of the transaction is in both directions. Rashi over here is writing, maybe not. And you understand why Rashi's saying that. Because our Mishnah is describing a scene where you're going into the town on the pagan holiday. You're doing transaction on the pagan holiday. And the only thing you have to be cautious about is which markets have their decorations and which ones don't. What do you mean? Isn't there a problem? You're not allowed to do transaction on this day with these people? So that's why Rashi has to modify our entire understanding of what's going on over here. Rashi says that the prohibition is only one directional. Okay.
But Rashi is assuming here that the mocher is selling of his own property.
Right. So
a stretch.
Okay, fine. Right. So there is that discussion in Rashi, meaning is Rashi over here talking about your standard businessman? Because your standard businessman, he's not sad. His life is to buy things and then turn around and flip and sell it. And his sale, it makes him extraordinarily happy because that's what his life is. That's his livelihood. So I don't know, right? When you read Rashi, Rashi doesn't make that kind of distinction. But are we talking about where he's selling his own personal goods or he's selling anything? It makes more sense, Rabbi Goldstein, I grant you, it makes more sense that Rashi is only talking about where he's selling his personal goods. But in the Mishnah, you don't get that sense. The Mishnah is making it just a simple distinction of, is his storefront decorated or not decorated? That's all you're getting from the Mishnah. Okay. That is an excellent point. The Gemara Amar Shema Melakish Loshana Wala B'Mutaros B'Vered V'Hadas Tekame Mitane Mirecha V'Mutaros B'Peros Mutaros. Reish Lakish says, it depends how the store is decorated. If they're decorated with veris, vehadas, rose, and hadasim, myrtle, then it's a problem. Why? Because as you approach their storefront, so you're going to get great smells. You're going to get smelling roses, and you're going to be smelling myrtle. And those are great smells, and you're getting hana'ah from Avodah Zarah. Reish Lakish believes, right? We're not going to pass him like Reish Lakish, but it's interesting. He believes that the decoration is not a simon, it's not a sign, it's the actual prohibition. The prohibition is to approach those decorations, and you're going to be inhaling and getting a wow, that smells great, and you're going to be benefiting from Avodah Zarah. Dekamitani mirecha v'amutaros beperos mutaros, but if all they're being decorated is with fruit, and fruit is kind of hard to smell. Well, some fruit smell nicely, but fruit's kind of hard to smell, so then it would be fine. This is the opinion of Reish Lakish. My time, Damakarlo, Yidbak, Bialcham, Umma, Menacherem, Nenehu, Da Asar, Ava, Mahaneshare. And Reish Lakish says, and what else are you bothered by? Are you bothered by the fact that you know this store is observing this pagan holiday? And they're collecting a tax, and part of that sale now is going to go to the priest. You're bothered by that? Reish Lakish says, don't be bothered by that. Wait, one second. Don't be bothered by that. Why? Because Reish Lakish says, the prohibition in the Torah is that you're not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah. If you want to be mehaneh, if you want to provide benefit to Avodah Zarah, Reish Lakish says, that's not a problem. Okay? Lo yidbak b'yad chamu'um ha-menacherim means that you can't take from the Avodah Zarah. You can't actually receive something from the Avodah Zarah, i.e. benefit. But if you want to provide benefit from the Avodah Zarah, that's okay. Now, just viscerally, I think we read this line of Reish Lakish and we say to ourselves, no, can't be, really? Meaning that the Torah's only prohibition is I can't benefit, but if I want to provide for Avodah Zarah, that's okay? So Tosos, top Tosos on the next Amud has that discussion, and he modifies Reish Lakish's statement, and he says maybe there's a difference between a little bit of benefit and a lot of benefit. Okay, so not for now, but take a look at that Tosos, who really tries to modify how far Reish Lakish is saying, but Reish Lakish is making a very basic distinction, the difference between getting benefit versus providing benefit. Yeah, Ben.
And just on the decoration, are we saying that
that's what it sounds like from Reish Lakish. Right, Rashi writes that pretty much straightforward. Rashi writes, "Vered v'hadas derech l'shatchan lifnei avodas kochavim." They take their roses and their myrtle and they spread out from in front of their avodah zarah, and it's takrovis avodas kochavim. It's actual offering of avodah zarah. So Rashi, yeah. So and because of that, now you can't smell it because that's actually being used for avodah zarah. Okay, that is the opinion of Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan, Amar Afilo Mu'utars Beperos Ami Aser Kavachomer Nena Aser Mahana Lo Kol Shekein. Rav Yochanan says, I don't even, it's so funny, like the machlokas here between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is like really extreme. Rav Yochanan says, if I can't benefit from Avodah Zarah, do you really believe I can provide benefit to Avodah Zarah? It doesn't make any sense. In fact, he uses a simple Kal Vachomer. If I'm not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah, I certainly can't provide benefit towards Avodah Zarah. That's clearly out of the question. And so therefore, from Reish Lakish, from Rav Yochanan, the Mishnah is much more straightforward. You know what the decorations are? It's a siman. It's a sign. It's basically saying we are supporting Avodah Zarah. And any sale that we make today, because it's a Yom Eid, it's a holiday, any sale we make to them, a portion of the sale is going to go to the priest or the Avodah Zarah. And you can't benefit. In other words, so it doesn't matter what they're decorating with. That's not the issue. The issue is that you now know that part of the sale is going to go to Avodah Zarah, and you can't be part of that. Okay. So we have over here in our Gemara a basic machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether you can give hana'ah, provide benefit to the Avodah Zarah. Sounds like an unbelievably strange machlokas. I think intuitively we're all going to side with Rav Yochanan. No, it's not up for a vote over here, but I'm just saying that just Rav Yochanan is just easier to hear.
Rav Yochanan would do the three-day prohibition and not even during the
Right, holiday. But then you keep then, but you have to go back. No, but the Mishnah says that if it's not decorated, then you can do it, and then you're going to have to go back to Rashi's explanation of well, what are you doing there to begin with? And Rashi says because the prohibition is only to sell them. There's no prohibition to buy from them.
But even if they didn't decorate, they still could be paying tax.
The Mishnah assumes that if they don't decorate, they're not paying taxes. That's the assumption the Mishnah is making. Right. Agnostics, if we could use that terminology, but correct. Rabbi Nassan Omer, sorry, where'd I go? Meisvei. Top of Yigim Amad Al, three lines down. Meisvei Rabbi Nassan Omer, Yom Shavuot Kochava Maneches Bos Ameches Machrizim Vaomrim. So on the day of their Avodah Zarah, right, it's a Yom Eid. So in a particular town, so they would give a tax relief day, right? Machrizim Vaomrim. Florida did this about a week ago, right? For school supplies, no taxes. So Machrizim Va'omrim, Kol Mishenot Ta'atar V'Yanich Berosh V'Rosh Chamaro L'Chav Ravos Kochav V'Yanich Lo Asameches. But here's the deal: it's very simple. All you got to do is wear a crown on your head and put a crown on the head of your donkey. I think that part's strange. It's just me. And if you do that, and if you put the crown on your head and on the head of your donkey, so you now are displaying that you are supportive of the Avodah Zarah, and you're going to get tax relief. The imlab lo yaniach lo asameches. And if you don't, so then you're not going to get relieved from taxes. So Yehudi shenim tzasha ma yaseh. So this is an unbelievable Jewish dilemma. Right. Do I? It's really.
Tape,
yeah, I know. I know. Right. Right, it's the opposite. It happens to be the opposite. It's the opposite, right? This Bryce is the opposite of the Mishnah, because this Bryce. So it's a Jewish dilemma. So here I am now. I know, but I know how everyone's thinking, and I'm going to correct your thinking. But I'm going to wear the crown and get relieved from the Avodah Zarah, or not in pay the Avodah Zarah. Now everyone here is thinking, oh, you know what the dilemma is, right? Do I give up my morals and do I put down my principles in order to get a tax break? That's not the issue, right? That's not it. The issue is that, and the Gemara spells it out, Yanich nimsa nana, because if I wear the crown, I'm benefiting from Avodah Zarah by wearing the crown, so I don't have to pay taxes. That's the direct benefit of Avodah Zarah. However, lo yaniach, but if I don't put the crown on and I do pay the taxes, nimsa mehaneh, then I'm providing benefit because then I'm paying taxes to Avodah Zarah. So you are in a total catch 22. Mikan amru hanosev hanosev b'shukshav avodas kochavim behemat hayakir, and so therefore you're stuck. In other words, solution is no solution. There's nothing you can do. And in fact, the Braisa goes on to say, what if you do buy on that day? Behema te'akir, if you buy an animal, you have to cut the tendon. Peros, ksus, v'kelim, your kavu. Food, any perishable, you let it rot. Maos uklimatcho yolicham liyam amelch. If you buy have durables, metal or any other durable goods, throw it into the salt sea. Ezu iker, and again we just did this 2 days ago. And when we're talking about cutting the tendons, what are we talking about? Hamanasha parsasem and arkuva lamata, not to render the animal a trefa. So in other words, just cut it below the knee and not above the knee. And therefore, you're not going to be rendering the animal trefa. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. That's, okay, again, that's not the main point. What is the Braisa saying? The Braisa is basically saying, I support Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's right. There are two prohibitions. One prohibition is you're not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah, and number two is you're not allowed to provide benefit to Avodah Zarah. And that's exactly what the Braisa says. And so the simple pshat on the Braisa certainly supports Rav Yochanan, that there is a dual prohibition of benefiting from and giving benefit towards the Avodah Zarah. Good. So Rav Yochanan right now is very comfortable. He's sitting very comfortably because he has a Braisa that's extraordinarily supportive of his position. What if you're Reish Lakish? Because he disagrees. He's of the opinion that the only prohibition is to benefit from Avodah Zarah, but not to provide benefit to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so what is he going to do with that braisa? Amar of Misharsha, Brei de Ravidi, Kasav Reshem and Malakish, Pligi Rabbanon, Le de Rabbi Nasan, V'ana de Amri, Karabbanon de Pligi Aleha. So Reish Lakish will tell you, you're right. This braisa, I have no answer for this braisa. This braisa is clearly against me. But if you go back to the beginning of the braisa, you will notice that the braisa says, where does the braisa start? It's a long braisa. It starts at the top of the page, three lines on the top of the page. Right after, the word Meisve, Rabbi Nasan Omer. This braisa is the opinion of Rabbi Nasan. Reish Lakish will tell you, good. This braisa is one person's opinion. One Tana's opinion. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Nasan, and I follow the viewpoint of the Chachamim. Now, we don't see in this braisa.
According to Reish Lakish, how does their Chachamim disagree with you?
Because they'll tell you, again, all this is unstated in the braisa, but they will disagree in that what you can do is, what you're supposed to do, is not wear the crowns and pay the tax.
But the thing is that even according to that, you're giving them hana, you're giving financial.
That's fine. That's fine. Providing hana for the Avodah Zarah is fine according to Reish Lakish. And that's what the Chachamim will tell you. You can't benefit from Avodah Zarah, so you can't wear the crown, you can't get the tax relief, but you will have to pay the taxes. Oh, you're providing hana? So be it. Okay, Rav Yochanan Savalo Pligi. I'm sorry, Rav Yochanan Savalo Pligi, and Rav Yochanan will tell you, look, I don't see that in the Braisa. So all I see is you're right. It's quoting the name Rabbi Nasan, but there's no other opinion in the Braisa. So Rav Yochanan says there is no machlokas. Velo Pligi v'hatanya. The Gemara says, but that's not true. We know that this is somewhat subject to a debate because we have another Braisa. Hochin l'Yerisha Ovdi Kochav Malochi Mehem. You can go to Yerid. Yerid is like a marketplace of idolaters. And you can buy behema avadim shvachos batim masados kramim. Over here, you're buying, but these are big ticket items that you're buying over here: animals, slaves, right? Real estate, masados kramim. The kosev amalei ba'kar shalhem. You need to write it up. You need to write up deeds, titles. You can do that. Go to their courts and do it there in the courts. Mimneshu kamatzol miyadam. V'im hayakoin. Other things you can do which are, you know, quote unquote questionable. Mitame bechutz la'aretz ladon la'arer imahem. Also, additional to that, if you have to go outside of Israel, right? God forbid. If you have to go outside of Israel, now we'll talk a lot about this over the course of this masechta. There's something called tumas ha'amim, which means that you step foot outside of the soil of Eretz Yisrael, the land outside of Eretz Yisrael is subject to tumah. Okay, so, okay, just to be taken in a halachic legal sense, we are now walking on tamei ground. Okay, it's a rabbinic prohibition, it's a rabbinic injunction that all lands are subject to tuma. Nevertheless, if there is good cause, if there's strong cause in terms of why you need to go, the Braisa says you may go. For example, the Braisa says, the Braisa is going to give a number of examples. Let's say that you have a legal battle to fight, and the legal battle requires you to leave Eretz Yisrael and to step foot on soil outside of Eretz Yisrael. But if you have to fight the legal battle, so then do so. Now, not only that, but even if you're a Kohen, you can go to the cemetery and go into the cemetery. Now, the Gemara says, what? Right? Immediate recoil of the Gemara. That can't be. That's real Tumma. That's Tumma Daraisa. Ela Beis HaPras Rabbanan. It means Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras is that area where there was a grave over there, and it was plowed through, and there's a rabbinic prohibition from going within a certain radius around the area. This is what's called Beis HaPras, Tumas Beis HaPras. Okay, that's a rabbinic injunction that the Kohen is allowed to do in order to fight the battle. Umetame lomod tarvelisa isha, and also, this is for the Kohen, this is for everybody. It sounds like we're still talking about the Kohen. Also, let's say the Kohen, just talking about the Kohen. Let's say the Kohen needs to learn Torah. Okay, now, what do you mean needs to learn Torah? What about Torah and Eretz Yisrael? Okay? We'll discuss this. What if he needs to go outside of Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah? That he may do. Velisa isha, and let's say he needs to find a wife, so he needs to leave Israel in order to find a wife, then he may do as well. I'm Rav Yehuda, imetame bizman she'en motzei lomod, aval bizman she'motzei lomod ein imetame. Rav Yehuda says, no. If there's yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, so then there's no need for him to leave Eretz Yisrael. He has to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afil bizman she'motzei lomod, yitma lefi she'en adam zocha lomod mikol. Learning, according to Rabbi Yossi, is somewhat of an individualized process. Just because he may be a good Rebbe, but he's just simply not for me. Not everyone is zochet to learn from every single Rebbe. And so consequently, I'm a Kohen, I'm an Eretz Yisrael, but I feel like I know the yeshiva's here and I know the Rebbeim here. But, right, I have better success with another Rebbe, and he's outside of Eretz Yisrael. You have the right to leave and go outside of Eretz Yisrael. I'm Rav Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef HaKohen, Sha'alach HaKharaba L'Tzidon. Rav Yosef HaKohen went after his Rebbe to Tzidon, Lomo Torah. Fine. The Amar of Yochanan, that is the end of the Brisa, period. That is the end of the Brisa. So far, so good. The Brisa really speaks about a whole potpourri of issues. Leaving Israel when you're a Kohen, even though you're going to be walking on land which is Tameh, but that's the second half of the Brisa. The first half of the Brisa talks about purchasing on the pagan market day, purchasing from the non-Jews. And in the Brisa, it discusses Hochin liyirisho of dikochem alochim mehem, and here's what you can buy from them. And right, that's the beginning of the Brisa. And now, where are we going with all this? Ve'amar Rav Yochanan halacha k'Rav Yossi. Rav Yochanan says the halacha in this Brisa is like Rav Yossi. Now, Rav Yochanan, right? Why did he make such a comment like that? So the way Rashi explains it, because it sounds like from Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan's taking a halachic stand, and he says, this is how the halacha follows. It sounds like that there are other people who argue with Rav Yossi. So the fact that he has to step forward and say the halacha is like Rav Yossi sounds like there's an argument. So even according to Rav Yochanan, complex flow of Gemara over here, even according to Rav Yochanan, we find that there is a debate as to whether or not you can or cannot purchase from the guy. I'm a pligi. So you see that there is a machlokas. I'm a Rav Yochanan lo olam lo pligi. Rav Yochanan says, no, I disagree. There is no machlokas. V'lo kasha. Kam lo kech min atagar. Tishak le michsa minei. Kam lo kech min balabayis. Dolo shak la michsa minei. And the Gemara says very simply, look. There's no machlokas. The first brisa says that you're stuck. You're going into the marketplace. They're asking you, put the crown on, you and the donkey, and you get tax relief. And the first brisa says you're stuck. Right? You can't put the crown on because you're going to get benefit from Avodah Zarah. You can't not wear the crown because then you're going to have to pay taxes, and those taxes are going to go to the idolatry. So the first brisa says you're stuck. You can't get hana, you can't be mahana. The second brisa says, that's not true. You could buy. You could buy the big ticket items. You can buy slaves and houses and all that, and that's not a problem. And Rav Yochanan will tell you, the second brisa is discussing a scenario where the one who's selling is not a tagar, he's not a merchant, he's just a regular balabas.
But that comes from what's racial like Egypt that you can buy, no?
And the regular, because their store is not decorated. And so they're not...
You can be mounted, so if you buy it, you're being mounted, right?
We're assuming that you're buying from somebody who's not into it. He's an agnostic. He just happens to be there at the market at the time. That's how Rav Yochanan will understand it. And because he's a Baal Habaas, there he's not paying his taxes. Meaning, it's just, again, this is right. This is the kind of, if we were there back then, living back then, we'd understand this a little bit better. But only the regular merchants, only they're the ones who pay taxes. The Baal Habaas who just shows up and makes a couple of sales, he doesn't pay taxes, and that's what the second Brisa is talking about. And that's why in the second Brisa, it gives you an allowance to go ahead and to buy these items from a non-Jew.
But this still doesn't tell us what the Rabbi wants to say with the other, it's a catch-22.
No, so he'll tell you that there's nothing you can do. He'll tell you, like the other Brisa said, you're stuck. You can't do it. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't do anything. You can't wear the crown, you cannot wear the crown. You're stuck. That he totally subscribes to. In the second Brisa, the way the Gemara is now presenting it, is that you're talking about buying it from a guy who doesn't then turn around and give part of the money to the idolaters. Okay, it's not the simple pshat on the brisa, but the Gemara says that's how Rav Yochanan will view the play of those two brisas, one with another.
Is Rav Yochanan's issue that it's removed? Meaning, like, let's see, according to Reish Lakish, if you owned a strip mall, right, you could rent a store to a church, and they run a church out of it.
Right, because it's owned.
I'm saying, is the issue here that it's
removed? You're renting, you're getting money.
No, you can't get hana. You can't get hana, but you can provide hana to the idolaters. So if you're going to get money, so that sounds like it's going to be an issue. But if you're going to be mehana, that's going to be a problem.
Is the issue that it's one step removed, that it's not the vote is already itself, but you're giving it to a merchant who then is going to turn around?
It sounds, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that, no, even though you know, I understand what you're saying, but that's, I mean, the Gemara's terminology is mahana shari. It sounds like it's a fundamental position in you can provide hana.
Right.
That's a simple pshat. But
one question regarding the two minds, not quite there. The chutzpah, what level of tumah does it have?
It's a rabbinic tumah. It's a rabbinic tumah on all lands outside. It's rabbinic.
It's not Baba tumah.
No. It's a rabbinic tumah. It's rabbinic tumah outside the lands of Israel.
It's like Netzilas Yadayim or something like that.
It's.
I never saw anyone more. They still have not built a mikveh in Ben Gurion. I never saw anyone like the Israelis that.
Correct.
I'm saying isn't it like Netzilas Yadayim is a rabbinic tumah.
Correct.
There's no mikveh.
Correct.
I mean, it's basically just Kohanim shouldn't leave Israel.
Right.
So for rabbinic tumah, just wash hands.
I'm saying that there are occasions where our hands are tummy. That concept is a rabbinic concept. There's no such thing as my hands are tummy, but the rest of my body is fine. That doesn't exist on a Torah level. But under certain circumstances, our hands are tummy, and therefore we wash our hands. Right. So what Rabbi Tushel is pointing out is that you're right. We don't see that play over here.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's go on. Let's see if we could finish this up. Okay. Amar. We're at the bottom of the page. Now we've dealt with basic machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether you can get it's forbidden to get hana and or to provide hana for the avodah zara. Rav Yochanan said they are both prohibited, and then we had this discussion about how to figure these two brises one with another about going into the market on the Yom Eid, on the pagan holiday. One of the things we talked about in the brisa is that if you buy an animal on the festival when you shouldn't have, so you have to dispose of that which you bought. And we talked about an animal, and regarding the animal, what did we say you have to do to the animal? Cut it. Make a cut on the lower portion of the leg. Now, mind you, by the way, our interest is to kill it. Okay? And that's our interest, but we don't want to shecht it. That's out of the question. We'll talk later on. Why don't we just simply chop it up? Why are we just making a little cut on the bottom of the leg? Later on, we'll talk about that. But the Gemara over here asks the obvious question.
Why can't you just let it go?
Just let it go. It's.
Give it to someone.
Is it Yura Achei Yistoi?
Maybe it's a Kanas. But I'm saying that though. The Gemara doesn't say that.
What's the point of buying?
That's exactly what the Bryce is saying. The Bryce is basically saying, don't. No, no, that's what the Bryce is saying. Don't.
If you do.
And if you do, you got to dispose of that which you.
So it's either Kanas or we assume a mom is.
I think, Steve. Right, I think Kanas. I think Kanas. Right, Kanas is the right terminology.
What if you sell that and throw the money in the Dead Sea? Sell the animal and throw the money, and that's it.
Okay. All right. I think that's why I think Steve is right. Kanas is a better way to say it, because Kanas means this is, you know, you have to, you know, you shouldn't have done that, and this is the punishment now.
It's the same thing as the firstborn of a chamor. When you say that,
the imla, right?
Yeah. If you don't.
This is just. You should, the Bryce's position over here, this is something you should not do. Don't go into that town. Don't buy in that day. You're getting benefit. You're giving benefit. You're not allowed to do that. And here's what happens. If you do, you're going to be fined. Now, let's go. Okay. So now you're causing pain to the animal. Tosos, on the previous Amud, we talked about this 2 days ago, right, was bothered by earlier when we talked about the king's horse. And when the king dies, we cut the animal. And there, the Gemara made no mention of Sar Bale Chaim. I'll remind you, Tosos over there answered the question by saying, how come the Gemara there didn't mention Sar Bale Chaim? So Tosos says back there, Shani Kavan HaMelech Shu Kavan LeKol Yisrael. Because there we're honoring the king, and honoring the king is really a subcategory of honoring all the Jewish people. And so therefore, Sar Bale Chaim doesn't override or supersede the honoring of the king. Good. But over here, we're talking about where you went in erroneously into a town on the pagan holiday, you bought the animal you shouldn't have, and now you have to dispose of the animal. So here, there's no covered seabird, there's no covered amalek. Over here, the instructions are dispose of it. How? By cutting it. And by making a sever on the animal below the kneecap. Okay? And that's painful, and that's cruel, and the Gemara is now bothered by how you can start Bale Chaim. So the pasuk says it's Susam Tayakir, and the way Rashi, this is the pasuk in Yoshua. But Rashi understands that because the Navi is telling us this is our way of how we treat the animals of Avodah Zarah, so therefore, yes, in other words, the Gemara is not denying it's Tzar Bale Chaim, it is Tzar Bale Chaim, but the mitzvah's Hanavi is going to override, is going to supersede the issue of Tzar Bale Chaim. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Amamar Veizu Iker Menashe Basasem and Arkuvel Amata Veiminu Ein Makishim Ein Machrimim Vein Marichim Bezman Azeh. Okay, another issue. You cannot sanctify or consecrate anything nowadays. Nowadays meaning without the Beis Hamikdash, right? I have a beautiful animal in my backyard, and I say to myself, you know what? I am so thinking Mashiach is coming tomorrow. I'm thinking he's coming today. So you know what? It's Friday, right? today. So I'm so thinking that I'm going to take this animal right now in my backyard, and I'm going to be makdish it, and I'll sanctify it, I'll consecrate it, and so that when Mashiach comes today and the Beis Hamikdash will be here, so I'll just simply take my animal and bring it up to the Beis Hamikdash. The Bryce says you can't do that. You can't. Bizman is that. The Im Hikdish, and the reason why is very simple, because we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, right? There is a mitzvah to anticipate the coming of the Mashiach, but right now we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, and you can't do that. And the reason why, I mean, beyond that, the reason why is because now I have Hekdesh sitting in my house. There's a good chance that I'll probably misappropriate, right? So the prohibitions, or the possible prohibitions of having Hekdesh in my house is going to override the beautiful idea that I'm thinking Mashiach is coming today. Okay, good.
I mean, it would be toe-face. It would be
Hekdesh. Right.
It's a rabbinic thing.
Correct.
You shouldn't do it.
Correct. Right. V'im Hekdesh. So, and what if you do? Yeah. And it takes. And it takes. So what do you do? Behema Te'akir, Peres, Ksus V'keilm, Yer Kavu. Ma'osu Kli Matchot Yolicham Le'yam HaMelech. The Ezehu Iker. And over here, we're talking about Iker. Now, Te'akir, we've been assuming up until this point in time, because we've been saying it every single time, take a knife and cut the bottom of the leg of the animal, and the animal will die. And again, it's painful and it's cruel, but for Avodah Zarah, we said it's okay. Over here, what do you do? Ezehu Iker, no adults befanavi, he may samei aleha. So you starve it to death. Now, that's clearly Tzar Bale Chaim, right? No, it's no sidestepping that. the Gemara is bothered by the simple fact that Iker all of a sudden changed definitions.
Over, it's a different prohibition you're trying to get.
Okay, so right, good. So the Gemara is basically going to say that. The Himesa Meila Amar Abaye Shani Hasam Mishum Bizayim Kachim. So the Abaye says, look, over here, Bizayim Kachim. What does that mean? Rashi explains Bizayim Kachim, first line on the top of the page, second Rashi. Di Amar Teakir Eina Mesa Mehera Nira Bizyonel is Ma Meruba. Because what the traditional ikur is to just simply cut the bottom of the legs of the animal, and it will die slowly. And over here, we don't want that. It's kachim, right? It's bizayon kachim. It's just not the way, it's not proper, it's not an appropriate way to treat avodah zarah. V'nishchate mishchat, asabu l'udei takalos. The Gemara says, and you can't shecht it, because if you shecht it, people will think, right, a whole host of things. He's shechting a carbon outside the base of Mikdash, or maybe he'll even eat it. But no, Rashi's bothered by more of the, it's the shchut echutz aspect. Velishve gistra. Okay, so if our interest is right to dispose of it as quickly as possible, so why don't we just take an axe and just cut it in half? Right? Why are we starving it to death? Amar Abai, Amar Krav, and Itasim is Mizbechosam, Lo Sasum Kein Lashem Elokeichem. Because that's also just simply not the appropriate way to deal with a carbon. You just simply don't take a sword and you cut it in half. So we want to, right? We're looking for the sweet spot. We want to dispose of it. We don't want to. We can't shecht it. We don't want to just cut the bottom of its legs because it just be zayum kachim. That's not the way to handle it. We can't take a knife and cut it in half. So what we're going to do is like somewhere in the middle, which is starve it to death. Rav Amar Minesha Nir Kemata Mum Bekashim. So the Rav gives a different explanation as to why we don't cut it, right? Not the Bizayin Kachim explanation, but a different one, because it looks like you're placing a mum in Kachim. It looks like you're placing a mum in Kachim. Nira mum al Yehu. What does it mean it looks like you're placing a mum in Kachim? You are. Yeah, you're not allowed to place a blemish on a carbon while the Beis HaMikdash is around because it could be offered as a carbon. But nowadays, where it can't be offered as a carbon because there's no Beis HaMikdash, so there is no prohibition of placing a blemish on the animal, but if you cut it, it looks like you're placing a blemish on the animal. Let me just finish the thread of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, but fine. So nowadays there's no Beis HaMikdash. This animal cannot be brought as a carbon. So you know what this is analogous to? It's analogous to placing a blemish on an animal that's already blemished. Now, as Rashi points out, this is subject to a debate in the Gemara and Becharos. Let's just get through the thread and then I'll pause. The Gemara and Becharos says that if you have an animal that's already disqualified for the Mizbeach, in other words, it was a carbon and then it received some sort of disqualification, can you place another blemish on top of that? So Rashi points out the Gemara and Becharos has that discussion and a debate on that issue. So the Gemara over here says, the afagav de lochaze lakrava aser bamum. Nihi de lochaze legufe lidame chaze. So the Gemara says, look, over here, you're right. The animal cannot be bought as a carbon anymore. But you can redeem the animal, take the money of the animal and use that for a carbon. So this animal still has carbon quality to it. And so consequently, you cannot put a blemish on the animal. But over here, an animal, bizman hazeh, nowadays without the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't even have a carbon quality to it. And so it's even the opinion in Becharos that says they can't put a blemish on a blemished animal, over here would tell you that it's not a problem because nowadays the carbon doesn't have a carbon quality to it. Okay, yeah. Now. Right.
So this would be a classic case where you want to not forget how to treat an animal when you're basically moving around, so you shouldn't really be interested in that. You shouldn't be using this clause saying there's no better time to do whatever else is happening.
No, I understand that the Gemara over here is just focusing on the technical aspect of because there's no Beis HaMikdash nowadays, so the animal doesn't have a carbon quality to it. It's a technical discussion. It's really a clinical discussion on whether or not you could place a blemish on the animal. But as far as far as remembering the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, it's not really, it doesn't really come into play over here. Okay, good.
How is this different from Yira Achayis Toy, the principle that we use?
No, but there you want a blemish to go on the animal because for whatever reason it no longer can bring it. Over here, we're talking about I have to dispose of the animal, so how do I dispose of it? Right, and so if I place a blemish on them, being matum on the kachim, so that's the discussion. Is that okay? All right, good. We'll stop over here. So again, so today we talked about hana and mehana, machlokas reish lakish Rav Yochanan. Right, the halacha does fall like Rav Yochanan. Both hana and mehana are prohibited, and then we segued, we tangented on the discussion of how to dispose of an animal that you bought, you purchased on the Yom Eid. And how do you dispose of that? As opposed to disposing other animals that need to be disposed of.